your favorite game when you come on here is yay or nay. So we figured we'd do a yay or nay with you. Now, there was a Stanley Cup final game last night. The NHL did hand out its awards last night, and we will get to those, Razor, but you know that that's not the lead. Those things are not the lead here in Toronto, because a Leaf didn't win a major trophy, and the Leafs are not competing in the Stanley Cup final. So, I mean, really, at this point, who cares? It's all about the Leafs. So a mini yay or nay. Alex Pietrangelo. And I'll just pause for comedic effect here, because you're going to roll your eyes and say, oh, great, now all the Leafs fans think he's coming to Toronto because he happens to be an unrestricted free agent. Our yay or nay question for you. Alex Pietrangelo will leave the Western Conference next season. Yay or nay?
Oh, I am smiling ear to ear about, yes, of course, the top free agent is, of course, going to Toronto, because that's what they all do.
And he's from the area.
Of course, hometown boy. I'm going to say yay, because I want to hear the yay.
Okay, so we've eliminated half of the demographic now. None of the Western Conference teams. Are you willing to go out on a limb and give us a team or two or three in the Eastern Conference that you think he may end up on?
Oh, that one's tougher. I'm so confused and unsure about this next month of free agency and next month of the NHL. I think it's going to be so interesting how teams are able to get creative. It's going to be very interesting to see which teams' bottom lines are struggling more than others. I think that, you know, obviously we know the salary cap staying at $81 million across the board, but I've got to believe there's a bunch of teams that we don't know about yet that have internally set salary caps much lower and are being, you know, GMs are being told to take money off the books. Owners' businesses aren't doing the same as what they were on March 11th, and they can't afford whatever's going to come down the line the next few years. So, long story, just to get around answering the question directly, is I'm not sure where he's going to go. I have no sense at all where any of these guys are going to go, just because of what state these organizations are in financially.
There was a lot of talk about what it was actually offered by the Blues. And it was reported that it was just over $7 million a year, but he wouldn't know the terms. Would you ever enter a deal not knowing the term of a deal with, and just the number?
I think you just answered the question. I mean, like, that's incredibly, that report, like, that doesn't make sense, right? Doesn't that feel like there's something else there that, but that's exactly what I'm talking about when we talk about what's going on here in the next 6 to 8 weeks. If one of the top free agents is getting handed a napkin that says 7.7, but no amount of term until for the foreseeable future, I mean, that's I think very telling of what's going to happen and where these guys are at and where some of these owners are at.
And that would lead me to draw the very Toronto-esque conclusion that a team like the Leafs that is financially stable, you have to make it work within the salary cap, I understand that, but a team like the Leafs that is financially stable could step in here and lure a guy like Pietrangelo. I don't care whether he's from the area or not. I mean, if you're able to give a guy term and give a guy dollar in this weird environment, do it. And he also would happen to address a glaring need. I don't think there's anybody in that organization, Razor, who doubts that the defensive core is their biggest issue.
He fits the bill perfectly for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And there's no question that solidifies your back end when you can roll him out 27, 28 minutes a night. And you know that just makes everybody better. And there's a little subtraction or addition by subtraction, I should say. And to that point as well with the dollars, I think there's an absolute advantage to the teams that are most financially secure, the wealthiest teams, despite they still have to work within a ceiling. However, the underlying financials of their organizations going forward, they're not worried about what their team looks like or what their finances look like in 10 years or in 7 years, let alone the short term. So I agree 100%. The bigger teams, the Montreal, the Toronto, the Rangers, they're going to have opportunities, and players are going to look at those opportunities a little more favorably, I think, than a team that we would expect might have some financial issues if there's no fans in the building for a little while.
If he does decide on Toronto, though, Razor, I feel like they're going to have to give him some kind of, they're going to have to almost overbid on him to get him, because I can remember so many guys, and I know it was a different time, but back 10 years ago, 15 years ago, a lot of guys that were from Toronto just don't want to play here. What, I didn't play here as long as you did, but what is it about that? And I know you're from Belleville, it's, you know, an hour and a half outside of the city, but lots of ties to Toronto. What's that like for guys that don't, like, what's the reasoning, the reason behind guys not wanting to come back to where they're from?
The big thing is stress, added pressure. And there's no question guys talk. I had many conversations with free agent guys, you know, what's up with Toronto while I was there, when I left. So guys talk and guys try and get the scoop, and there's probably a lot of conversations about, you know, what it's like being there and what it's like actually playing there. And you get the good and the bad. But I think the number one thing for me is a guy coming from St. Louis, for instance, or Dallas or these other teams, Tampa Bay, you know, just recognizing how much more goes into your day, how much more energy you spend on things off the ice in Toronto. You don't get away from the game at any point in Toronto compared to a lot of other cities, especially here in the United States. So that's something that some guys want to embrace. And there's other personalities, there's other guys with different characters that would rather be somewhere where it's a little quieter, and they're going to get paid the same amount of money to do less media, to do less events, to be able to fly under the radar when they go to the grocery store.
Andrew Raycroft, our guest. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Another yay or nay. Tuukka Rask. What's that?
I just wanted to pipe in before I forget and say Raycroft, Razor never went to do his groceries. Sorry, go ahead. He said go to the grocery store. I just want to say he's never gone grocery shopping in his life. Sorry, go ahead.
Is this true, Razor? Is this a yay or nay?
No,
yay or nay, have you ever done groceries?
I'm man of the people. I was out and about all the time. You don't even buy food. You buy, what do you buy? Like supplements and stuff, right?
When did Ziggy move from hot dogs in the Kraft dinner to this sheep kefir, goat yogurt?
I bet you
tofu.
Razor's had kefir before. I bet you he's had kefir. Let's ask him.
I've seen, yes, kefir's been in my fridge before, but it was more for the kids. I think Ziggy recommended it. It was around 2002, 2003, where Ziggy really went off the rails. From what I remember.
Okay, but was he like was he a definite, like, wieners in the Kraft dinner guy, or was it just like, I'm done eating the odd cheeseburger and I'm going healthy?
No, I'm done eating it. I'm done slamming a full pizza on a Saturday afternoon. I'm going to go real healthy.
Me and Razor went to Fenway one time. I think I gunned like 89 hot dogs in
my
the bleachers.
God.
Razor gunned about 60, and he absolutely cleared out two rows and a Subway cart on the way back to his place. There, I said it.
I was at Dodger Stadium for a Cubs-Dodgers series in 2010, and I sat in the all-you-can-eat right field bleachers for a game. I had four hot dogs before first pitch, and I think I was seeing stars and blacked out by the third inning. Like, and it wasn't, like, there was no room for beer. It's just like pig
that's
guts.
That is when you have a problem.
Yeah.
You don't have space for a beer.
Like,
what's your diet like? As long as I have space for a beer.
That's my diet. All right. Yay or nay, Tuukka Rask is the clear-cut number one starter in Boston next year.
I'm going with yay. Being down here thinking about it, talking to people, he's the second best goalie according to everybody in the world as of last night. And what he's on another year of a deal. Who are they going to go and get? What's the options that the Bruins have if they are upset, which I'm still not convinced that they're really that upset about the scenario. I think they're a little disappointed, but they got it. It was a family issue. So I can't imagine him going anywhere else. I think it'll be a little difficult for him to begin with, but the fan base will begin to look the other way when they start waiting.
Get to the NHL awards now, or do you want to chime in on Rask, Ziggy?
No. Yeah, I think he's there. He starts again. I don't think what happened with him leaving is.
Yeah, no, it was a family issue. I mean,
it's a family issue.
Reasons.
But I'm going to say some guys, I am not rubbed the wrong way. I think some guys are going to question how much he wants it, and I don't agree with that point of view. But it wouldn't surprise me if you really dug into what some of the guys on the team thought of him leaving and said, yeah, you know what, he kind of left us out hanging to dry. And I don't agree with that at all, but it wouldn't surprise me if you did hear that from some players. I don't know. I Razor, am I wrong to think that some guy, I wouldn't be surprised if some guys thought that.
No, I agree. I'm sure there are. No one's coming out and saying it here. There's certainly everyone backed him since the minute that happened and been behind him 100%. I'm sure if you get guys on a lie detector test, there'll be a few guys that are disappointed at the end of the day, but like both of you guys know, it's about results. And when you have a guy who's running off to the Vezina Trophy, you don't necessarily, it's much harder to look for something else, or it's easier to look the other way when there's things going on and he's leaving and there's personal issues when you're that talented and that good.
All right, Razor, Andrew Raycroft, our guest on Leadoff. You're gonna hate us for this one, but I'm doing it to you anyway. So apologies, no apologies in advance. We know that Leon Draisaitl won the Hart Trophy last night as the most valuable player in the league. Yay or nay? Oh God, he's gonna. Yay or nay? Leon Draisaitl is the best player on the Edmonton Oilers.
Nay.
But the other guy's not. What did McDavid finish? Fifth in voting?
I know.
Razor, do you vote for any of the awards? Like, are you one of the
No, I don't. And I feel like my 7-year-old should be with some of the votes that I saw last night.
Did you see two people left McKinnon out of the top five?
We need to know who they are. Like, please come out and, you know, show yourself. Like, and we got Tristan Jarry getting votes for the MVP, and McKinnon doesn't make the top five. Like, what? Who is doing this, and how are they getting a vote?
Well, the other question I would have, Razor, and we'd have to cross-reference, is did the same people who left McKinnon out of their top five for the Hart vote Makar for the Norris? And if so, how the hell do you watch the Colorado Avalanche play and notice Makar but not McKinnon?
it's absolutely.
You know, there's a big reason why Makar, you know, won the award he did. It was by giving the puck to that guy McKinnon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's also a fair point.
Did you have Makar over? I had Makar over Hughes. But it was a coin flip. Like, I would literally flip a coin on them, but I would, if I had to choose one, it was Makar. Who did you have for rookie?
I'm with you exactly. But to like as close of a coin flip as you could possibly have, I lean Makar, and really probably for no real good reason, but maybe just pass the eye test a little bit more for me defensively. But no, they're both generational talents back there.
And then Josi, I had Josi as the winner for the Norris. Who did you have?
Yeah, I had Josi off the season. The question to you guys is, Josi the best defenseman in the NHL right now?
I mean, Hedman is he's got a lot of Conn Smythe votes by far looking at as the best player in the playoffs, but I don't know. Hedman's is great every year. Not to say Josi isn't a consistent player, but I saw a different gear from Josi this year, especially the team he was on. They weren't great.
No, I think he's enormous. If I'm picking a defenseman to start my team as a GM, I'm going Hedman. But that's what these awards do, right? You have to base it off the season, but I love Hedman.
Andrew Raycroft, our guest, before we get you out of here, we can't let you go without a Dave Mishkin Tampa Bay radio call.
Back at the right point, Shattenkirk. Shoot, score! Quick little shot from Shattenkirk!
There you go. Dave Mishkin.
If you don't know who that is,
he's the Tampa Bay radio guy, and he's very excited about things. Do you have a general thought on the first two games of the Stanley Cup Final? Obviously, Dallas got off to the nice start. Tampa Bay built a big lead last night, held on to win 3-2. And the word is Steven Stamkos, whatever he will be, is very close to drawing into the lineup.
That's a big emotional boost for Tampa Bay. I think being in the bubble for 8 weeks and being able to have a guy like that come in here, that dressing room will be buzzing before the game, and the guys will really enjoy that. I think that'll give them a lot of energy. It reminds me so far a little bit just watching Tampa Bay. I thought Dallas needed to win that last night to really, as this series grinds on, I think Tampa Bay has the distinct advantage. I think they're a little deep. You see Kucherov, and now they got the power play going last night. Kucherov snapping it through that seam. And I love the guys in Dallas. They just don't have anybody that can do that in their lineup. I love Jamie Benn and Radulov and Sagan, but Tampa Bay, I think, just has a little bit of an extra gear. It reminds me a little bit of the Bruins series against Tampa. Bruins won game one, thought they had a chance, a close game that ended up losing in overtime, and then that was it. And I don't think it's going to be five games, but I feel like Tampa wins this in six now.